Nothing, I don't know. You back though. You looking like shit. I was in the Twilight Zone.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Ain't it? Oh, no, shoot. My bad. I'm going to start over. I'm going to start new.
He's so stupid.
Welcome to Cut Different, everybody.
Welcome to Cut Different.
Hashtag Cut Different on all social media platforms and social media, not social media already. Streaming network.
There you go.
Platform.
I got it out.
That's all it matters.
I got it out. How y'all doing, guys?
Good.
I mean, really, how y'all doing?
All right. I'm good. I'm blessed.
Man. Right. Yeah, feeling good like a Hebrew should.
Man, okay, cool. We all in attendance today.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Why I had to ask them. I had to see if they wanted to be here now. Got my brother T in here.
Listen, what's going on, world?
Top dollar signs. We got Slick Nick in here.
What's going on?
That's all.
I can't say.
And we got the smooth brother in here, Mouche.
Hey, what's going on, fam?
Yeah. And as always, yours truly, the realest nigga in the room.
The only nigga.
The only nigga. You can have that title all day, my G.
George and Trisha, son. We in here, fellas. We in here.
That's
cool. So again, everybody good? This is going to be an interesting show today.
Yes, sir.
Interesting show. And one of the things that sparks this topic, did you know the second leading cause of death for black men between the ages of 15 and 24 is suicide?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Not surprised at it.
What's the age? The age demographic?
Between 15 and 24. Pay attention. It's okay. We're going to bring you in.
No, it's
we're going to get you there. I just said it, but it's all right. I said it again.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's shocking, but it don't surprise me, though.
Man. No.
You know, it don't surprise me at all.
Especially where things are now.
Yeah.
There's so much, like, pressure.
Yeah.
Of being viral or being the attention or even validation.
Yeah.
The validation part, I think, is the biggest.
Yeah, man.
Validation. You know,
validation
or just pressure in general. I want to, talk about this real quick. This is something that happened in the news locally here in Atlanta. There was a brother. You know, he just got sentenced to 50 years in jail for attempting to poison his newborn child. Now, as the story goes, you know, coming from the news, they were saying that he and this woman were co-workers. He was engaged to another woman, and his co-worker, he gotten her pregnant, and he didn't want her to have the child. You know what I'm saying? Because I guess it would blow up his spot or whatever. She had the child anyway, and so as time passed, she asked him to bring some milk because she was still in the hospital, you know, or for whatever, after the child was newly born. And so he put antifreeze in the milk trying to poison the child.
Yeah,
and so, you know, he got 50 years. But I say that and how it relates to this particular topic, just pressure, even though that was self-induced. You know what I'm saying? Many of us, you know, men and women don't know how to handle responsibility because, you know, all of the activities that led to it aside, now you have the responsibility of rearing this child, you know, bringing this child in the world. And so, like, it goes, that could be one of the factors as well that contributes to suicide. You know, he had so many stressors and so many, you know, so many issues to deal with. So, I mean, it just, you know, just kind of throwing it out there. I always like to put a little news and notes out there, but yeah, I wanted to roll right into the topic, man. You know, just mental health. I'll start by giving us the definition of therapy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? As it, from Oxford, from the Oxford, dictionary. There, I got two entries. One entry is the treatment intended to relieve or heal a disorder, as in a course of antibiotic therapy. So, you know, you got medicine in that aspect. Okay. And then, but I think the one that we want to focus on today for today's show topic is the treatment of mental conditions by verbal communications and interacting, as in the therapy helps the patient to deal with difficult relationships. So I just want to throw that out there, the two entries, you know what I'm saying? So because there are different types of therapy, mm-hmm. you know, and so I just want to lay these out real quick, and then we can kind of, you know, roll on into it.
So with the definitions of it, mm-hmm. Do you guys have y'all completely understand that? One of my understandings of therapy is that, I think you said it on the show before, mm-hmm. but I've always thought it was similar to this.
Yeah.
Therapy is like, the therapist acts as a GPS, and you're the driver.
Okay.
Without telling them exactly, you know, where you're going.
Right.
Or where you need to help at. Mm-hmm. You got to put that address in.
Right.
So, and with therapy, when you are completely transparent, that's the only way that you're going to be able to navigate through the healing. Mm-hmm. 'Cause healing is a journey. Mm-hmm. It's not just a, hey man, I feel bad. Make me feel good. And it's not going to happen today.
Right.
So you got to think about however old you are, whatever age you are at the time that you began therapy. It took you that long to develop the coping mechanisms and you deal with that trauma all the way up until that point. So if you're 30, it took you 30 years to become that person.
Right.
It's not going to happen overnight. What do y'all think about?
I mean, me, when it comes to therapy, I don't believe in the medicine part. Mm. I think everything.
You don't believe in medicine?
No, I do not.
I know where you're going. Yeah. I know
where you're going. Because then it's not really therapy anymore. Because now you just, to me, you just switch the addiction to from pain to like a temporary pleasure. Well, now you're addicted to.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Now every time you're mad, you run to medicine. There's these pills. You know, ease your mind and whatnot instead of just releasing it naturally. I'm all about natural things, natural mm-hmm. remedies and whatnot. I think talking to other people, you know, releasing that mm-hmm. energy, that anger, right. that sadness out right. of you, I right. think is the best option outside of medicine.
Damn, they're abusive, though. Using your family and friends for certain situations. Like, I got to be something to you that I'm not qualified to do.
Bro, right. like therapy?
Yeah.
No, it could be anybody. You can go to a therapist, but I mean, some friends to me is my
therapist.
Yeah,
I mean, that's therapist. Okay too.
This is my therapy right here.
I mean, that's real. And that's real talk.
That's what black people usually go with, though. Like when it's more, much deeper than that. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not, and I'm just throwing, I'm playing, I'm being the advocate to the devil right now. As y'all
he
like
didn't
to
want
say.
To say. He didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
Party how that shit turned out. Right. Right. Behind the irony of that, huh?
Right.
But you know how we are, we talk to our friends and family and we develop these misdiagnoses mm-hmm. of what's going on with us. Mm-hmm. When it's okay, it has to be okay at some point for black people. Even though it's talked about a lot more and dealt with a lot more, it's still, I still feel like there's an overuse of it. And there's an improper use of it.
Uh-huh.
Yep, I can agree with that, absolutely, because you got to be mindful of who you get your counsel from at the end of the day.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing. And I think a lot of times, mm-hmm. a lot of people be in a vulnerable state, but they're reaching out to the wrong source.
Right.
They talk to who makes us feel good right. about our bullshit.
Right. Exactly. Right. Always going to accept it versus being the person who's going to be right. That's why it's so important that when you go through tough times in life, that's when you really assess the people in your corner. Because mm-hmm. in the end of the day, it's not about per se what I need, but when I'm going through this, whose intentions are pure? Who's going to give me the best advice? You know what I'm saying? Because you got a lot of people who give you advice for their own self-motive. Or sometimes some people just don't know what the hell they're doing. Right. That's just being real.
Just talking
it sound good.
Right.
But as far as you going to see, people going to see like a therapist or anything like that, I'm totally with that. I feel like it's important to find someone, though, who is going to make you do the work.
Right.
And not going to prescribe you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is like, I kind of go with what Nick said, is that what good is a person going to a therapist mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all you're going to do is prescribe them some medicine to cope with with feelings, as far as thoughts versus them giving them a giving them tools. Mm-hmm. There's so many different tools that you can use out there when you're in a certain place that you can tap into. Now, of course, there's certain people who it doesn't work, and I get it. And I'm not judging anyone who has to go that route. Mm-hmm. However, brother, then I hate that you take it that way. That's a personal thing, but listen, I'm praying for you. But what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? That's all that I can say. Yes, I push you a prayer. I took a prayer, brother. But, yeah. But I say that to say that at the end of the day, I think that when it comes to therapy, you have to find somebody who you're able to be vulnerable with. Right. Because the thing is that when it comes to therapy, in order for you to truly do the work, like you said, to be that the GPS, right? To be able to release it. Cause you gotta be able to be real with yourself.
You gotta be the driver.
You gotta be the driver, excuse me. Yes, the driver. Right. You got to be comfortable and be vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable. Completely. You got to be able to look those things in which you've been hiding from all your life that made you feel that pain the first time, that made you go into that shell, that made you become paranoid, that made you do. You got to face it. You can't run from it.
Mm-hmm. I got a thought
about that.
Go ahead.
About the natural remedies and stuff. Those are medicinal too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Before we get into that, I want to just throw out the different types just so we can kind
of. Different types of work.
Because the different types of therapy, because I want to get more into the conversation where we go into now, because like you're talking about like traditional therapy where they prescribe medications.
You got something up your sleeve.
No, we're talking, this is good stuff.
I want to lay it all out.
Go ahead, watch him. We're cooking a pot right now.
Yeah, but it's like.
I'm listening.
He's so silly. But no, I just got this off the line, man. And plus with going to school now for social.
Offline. Tell this nigga on use internet.
Go ahead. Online, man.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro.
I got it from offline, you know, online, you know, I got it from off an online source.
How about that?
Since we got to be, you know. No, but they got it broken down into four basic types. So the first type is psychodynamic therapy. The second one is behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. The third one is cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yep.
And then the last one they have is humanistic therapy. And now Nick and Ty and myself, we're more along the humanistic aspect of it. So I just wanted to kind of lay out the different types. So traditional therapy is kind of like your psychodynamic and your behavioral therapy. So basically, and I'm just going to run them down
real quick. I was going to say that's
good. Psychodynamic therapy is developed from psychoanalysis. Mm-hmm. It's a long-term approach towards mental health treatment. And so psychoanalysis goes into the psyche, you know, the study of the soul. That's what psyche means. So psychology is a study of the soul.
I'll probably like that too. I'm probably both of that too.
Yeah.
I like all that because
So basically, so basically with psychodynamic therapy, of course, like we talked about, you know, we get into the whole psychoanalysis and all of that stuff. And so they say what that's good for, what psychodynamic therapy is good for, depression, anxiety, eating disorders, substance use disorders, and, you know, other conditions. The behavioral therapy basically is focused on action-oriented approach to the mental health. So basically, why are you doing this? Whatever. Let's try to figure out why you're doing this and try to correct it if it's detrimental or if it's bad for your, you know, bad for your overall well-being. Right. Mm-hmm. And see, so now we're starting to get to it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like the brother we just talked about who just got sentenced for 50 years for, you know, giving that baby, you know, attempting to poison him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So basically what behavioral therapy may be good for addressing is phobias, substance use disorder, ADHD, you know, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, OCD, obsessive compulsive behavior, behavioral issues resulting from communication difficulties or emotional challenges. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of our young brothers and sisters, they always want to put you in a behavioral disorder class. They try to classify that as a learning disability.
That's all you hear all the time, especially the black kids.
Right.
But
who's given this advice and what are their motives for?
They qualified.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you got social work, psychoanalysis, all of that stuff is steeped in racism and eugenics. We'll get to there in a second. The third one is cognitive behavioral therapy. Cognitive behavioral therapy is a short-term approach to mental health. It's similar to behavioral, but it also addresses unhelpful thought patterns or problematic thoughts. Mm-hmm. So basically they try to get to how your mind works and try to give you more corrective action is basically what it is.
Which one is that one?
That's the cognitive behavioral mm-hmm. therapy. And then the last one, of course, is humanistic. Humanistic is an approach that looks like how your worldview affects the choices, makes especially choices that cause distress. It's based on the belief that you're the best person to understand your experiences and needs. So you are the most qualified. You're the best qualified to, you know, to try to help solve your needs is what that's saying. So along with someone who is qualified to guide you through that process, that's how the humanistic therapy works.
That part is probably related more so to the Black experience in America.
Mm-hmm. How so? That one. Yeah. Now get into what we was talking about before.
Experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that type of, since our experiences is embedded in like trauma
mm-hmm.
throughout our existence in America.
400.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, you can relate that one to that.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere. Somewhere. All over
a lot of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to, in order to seek therapy, you have to also remember that you have to identify what type of therapy. You have to be honest with yourself.
Right.
And, when it gets to the psycho part,
right.
That's usually diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
With the other four that you identify,
mm-hmm.
you really have to be specific on what you actually need. Like
right.
You're saying, learning disorders aren't exactly behavior.
Right.
But most of the therapy that we're talking about, especially since we're coming up on Mental Health Month, mm-hmm. which is like next month, I think.
I believe so.
So we're coming up on that. A lot of times you'll hear Black people only speak about the behavioral side of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I want to hold.
Yeah, it's no. It's May. May is a mental awareness month.
Yeah, I know y'all didn't know that.
Put it out there. Yeah, I did. I was born in May.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm very in tune with mental health.
Yeah, I think the most important thing.
I am stressed. I'm Black.
No, I think the most important thing, you know, when discussing mental health. Is we have to be honest with ourselves, man. You know, a lot of people.
And your therapist.
Right, right. Because again, like you said, if I put in the wrong coordinates into this GPS, it's going to take me to the wrong destination. And so if you're giving someone who is there to help you the wrong information, they're only going to go by what you tell them and prescribe a certain course of action based on what the examples that you gave them. So if you lie to them, you know what I'm saying? And giving them a false representation.
It defeats the purpose.
Exactly.
You have to, that's what I said, you have to go in there with intent.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's true. But you have to go in.
Address.
Right. You said that your address is here and you're going to take them somewhere else.
Yeah.
You have to go in there with pure intention.
There you go.
With your intentions, knowing that I have to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
I have to. I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Right.
But I know that I got to do something about it. You got to be real with yourself. You're going in there thinking that, because here's the thing that I think people sometimes don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
You can fool everybody else but one person.
You can't fool yourself.
You can't fool yourself.
And you can't fool
But I think a lot of times people make these things and sometimes they go through the motion. Like I said, you're going through the motion to go see a therapist, but you're not being vulnerable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you think, and then you blame it again. You put the blame game. Right. Now you're blaming everyone else instead of,
right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because with therapy, I think people don't realize that in order for you to heal, you got to have some form of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Even from it being from.
That's the best ability.
Man, I'm telling you.
Hmm.
And if you got a good therapist, they're going to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
Even if it comes from you doing your work from healing. Even if it comes from you, even if there's a situation that maybe that's been traumatized, that maybe that you had something to. And you having to take accountability, but guess what? It's okay. Here's how we can move forward. But it's a number of things. But the thing is that I think that people have to be ready to be vulnerable and have to be real with themselves and be willing to look at themselves in the mirror.
I think a lot of times Black people get caught up in like what we do. Oh,
right.
The smoking, the drinking, the sex.
Right. Yeah.
You get so used to that.
Clubbing.
And it keeps us feeling like, okay, now, because I did this, I don't have to react the way that I normally would have reacted to something that triggered me.
Right.
But
right.
Coping isn't healing.
It's not.
No.
That doesn't mean that you heal because you found something to make you feel better or help you not make those decisions. Right. Because if you don't deal with that head on, at some point, it's gonna crack.
Right.
It's gonna crack.
It's gonna boil over. You're right.
So about that medicinal thing that we were discussing, because we need to go back over this. So,
oh yeah,
this is such
a broad topic.
I was gonna say it's very broad. My favorite therapy, which I always preach, and I preach this numerous times on the show, is self-therapy. It's something I call self-therapy.
Okay.
Talking to yourself.
Yeah.
If you ain't going to trust nobody else, go into a room by yourself. Talk to yourself. You ain't going to mislead what you know. You speaking what you thinking, and then you listening too as well. You think about, okay, if you do this, what's going to happen?
Asking the right question.
Yeah. Now you don't got to put anybody else in. You feel like there's nobody else that's listening.
I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Release the anger and understand, like, okay, maybe.
A bit avoidant,
because if you think about it.
Because if you ask the right questions, then you can break down, even sometimes even calm yourself down.
Yeah,
right.
you can understand.
Why am I upset right now?
Yeah.
Okay, because what is it that they did? Because now you're having to break things down. It's making you analyze. It's causing you to slow down.
Right. Now that you hear yourself say it, it's like, bro, do I really gotta hit this man? Like,
right?
Oh, he stepped on my shoes.
It caused a slowdown.
Right, exactly.
That's why it's okay. That's why I said when you're doing that in that way, that's a good thing because you're causing a slowdown. Mm-hmm. And you're breaking the thing down.
Yeah, and I always say that
versus being impulsive, acting irrationally.
Talking to yourself is always frowned upon. Like you're crazy. You're this and that. And I feel like to me, this is like me personally.
Yeah,
I think that's like one of the best ways because you're not getting anybody involved. You actually hear how. You know, what you're thinking, you might think like, okay, that was stupid. Right. Like, okay, maybe I shouldn't do that. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I get you.
The only thing I would say is you have to be honest enough to understand if you can't do that for yourself. Now, me just knowing you, Nick, from this time, I discern that you're a strong mental person.
Yeah.
So you have the faculties and the capacity to do that. I'm not paying attention. I see him over there.
No, I'm with you, though. As much as you said, go.
Because, you know, like, you have the wherewithal to be able to do it. It's a self-diagnosis. When I go to work on an AC unit or something like that, I'm like, okay, what is it not doing? Okay, it's not doing this. Why is it not doing this? And it's just like a little checklist. Mm-hmm. Same thing with myself. You know what I'm saying? I know that I'm capable of doing it. Mm-hmm. But when I can't, I'll then reach out to someone who's trusted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And who knows
self-therapy,
me.
Though?
Huh?
Is that communing with yourself?
It's a form of therapy because like the definition said in the humanistic side, basically I'll go back and read it because that, hold on, let's see. So basically it simply, let's see, where is it? Let's see.
Yeah, I think it was the human.
Yeah, the humanistic therapists work to help you better understand what you're experiencing, offering guidance and support without interpreting your feelings for you.
That's not self, though.
Well, like the starts of it, you can do, you know, you can look within yourself. So that way, when you do go to the physician or when you do go for this particular type of treatment, you're better prepared to give them because basically they want you to understand your feelings. They're just along the ride helping you get to where you're going. But you're, right. Yeah. But you know.
But what he's saying, though, that goes along with that because they want you to be able to ask those questions. Be comfortable with asking those questions.
Right.
Because you got to be up. That's you being in tune with yourself.
Right, right.
And you can't.
That's what I think that is. Like it's not necessary. When I think of self therapy, I think of meditation.
Yeah, that's cool.
In the quiet room and
meditating on the scriptures. You know, music therapy.
Frequencies and stuff like that.
Self diagnosis thing. Like I always go back to scripture. Like lean not to your own understanding.
Right.
Like it's always good to gather your counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's always good.
But I said start with yourself.
That doesn't mean that you're not, that doesn't mean that you're weak.
Look.
But so what happens after you get in that room and you talk to yourself about things? What's the next step?
I mean, if you talk about it and you understand, like, okay, what I did was wrong or what I'm feeling is this way. Okay, let's change it. Let's just listen to music or go outside, play basketball. For me, that was one of my stress relievers. You know what I mean? Like something nonviolent or something that's not going to cause me to hurt myself. Okay, cool. But if you get to that point where, I still feel the same. Maybe I do need to seek help. That's still you.
Being real with yourself.
Being real with yourself.
I went through these things and you're saying that.
I went through everything. I done said everything. And it's not working. Maybe I do need to speak up now.
And that's being real with yourself. Exactly. I think that a lot of times that when you, like you stated, that when you ask those questions, sometimes we have to be realistic. What state of mind am I in?
Right.
I think that's when you're kind of touching on to a degree. Because like, if I can't do it or I'm not in the right place, I'm going to go to someone else.
And I'm totally with it because that's
the other side that we, that causes us to make dumbass decisions called the ego.
Right. I think that's what a lot of black people do, though.
I mean, that's what I think.
But to me, it's like a stopping thing. I understand that.
Right.
But I'm, and the only thing I'm challenging about there is calling that self-therapy.
Right.
Because that's what a lot of black people do. And that's why we've avoided therapy for so long, because we always self-diagnose.
Right.
We self-medicate and we self-diagnose.
Yeah, we self-diagnose, but we also add, like, weed and drugs and alcohol into that too.
That's different ways. I mean, it can be crazy if you go out there and play basketball in 20 degree weather.
I think the biggest thing though is that you have to be aware of what state of mind that you're in. And I think that, that because like you said, if I'm asked the right question, but I know if I'm in the, not in the right state of mind, then I'm not gonna get the right, I'm not gonna counsel myself. And I think that's kind of what you're saying.
I just want to be sure that we're telling the audience things that they're not necessarily about ourselves.
Yeah. Right.
But you know, even if that works for you, it doesn't work for the majority.
Exactly.
So again, that's absolutely correct. And I think that that's why, again, what you said, I'm kind of agree with both of y'all to a degree. It's not wrong asking the right questions. But no. I'm just saying, we're just talking. It's a discussion. Is that you have to be in the right state of mind to ask those questions.
Sure.
Because if you're not in the, and I think that that's when therapy kind of makes sure that you're aware of what state of mind you're in. If I'm in a state of mind, I feel like I'm the victim. Then when I give myself the counsel, it's going to come from a victim standpoint.
Yeah.
And see, and that's dangerous. You see what I'm saying?
You either go within or go without.
Right. So I think you have to be aware, like, you know, I think you said that, okay, if I'm asking the right questions, I'm not getting the answer I feel like this. Peaceful or is not the best resolution, then I need to go seek another counsel. And I think that, that I think especially with black people that I'm more of the holistic route.
You know, what do you mean by holistic?
Like holistic in a sense of being one with the creator, having the creator involved in the process. Focusing on not per se more of the spiritual and human connection, but also to of you self-reflecting and being able to hold yourself accountable for that. I think a lot of times with holistic ones, they're going to give you certain oils and all that stuff. That's cool, but they're going to make you be comfortable with dealing with yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
all the holistic ones I've dealt with, they're going to make you be comfortable because the only way you can heal is being comfortable with yourself.
Right.
And that means even looking yourself in the mirror, facing that trauma. No.
Because medicine can act as a band-aid.
Yeah.
It's not
bad thing with weed.
As a matter of fact, I want to go back and touch on what y'all were talking about, coping. And see, a lot of times people mask coping with another addiction. And that's what you were saying, Nick, before. Yeah. See, people, you swap out one addiction for another addiction. So now, and you know, you're going to therapy and this therapist or whomever, this person is prescribing all of these drugs. And so now, you know, instead of tackling your anxiety issues, instead of dealing with some of these issues, which a lot of times, man, that's all we need to do. We need to attack whatever it is, attack the problem instead of trying to go around it or instead of trying to find some other, you know, some way to mask it, getting high or taking pharmaceutical drugs or whatever, man. Sometimes you just have to attack your problems head on. And see, with me, of course, I take
sometimes.
Because I mean, you know, but me being a spiritual person, my take on it is I'm going to lean on the spiritual for everything because my belief is that everything that manifests on itself physically has first taken place in the spiritual realm. That said, when you look at what, and again, this is kind of just me giving my listing, my faith here. When you read in the book of Enoch in the 15th chapter, it talks about demonic entities and what their design is to be on this earth. They're here to be a menace. They're here to be a nuisance. You have these demonic entities that physically cause a lot of the ailments that we're dealing with. And so case in point, when you look in the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel, I think it's like the 15th or 16th chapter, King Shaul, he was the first king of Israel. He was being plagued by evil spirits. because the spirit of righteousness was leaving him because of the wickedness that he was doing. And the only thing that would remove those wicked spirits from him was when soon to be King David, but he was still the shepherd boy David, would come in his midst and he would play the harp. Literally, the music would remove those wicked spirits. And so that's why, you know, I say sometimes it's musical therapy. Yeah. Man, like, that's why I only listen to what people call set apart music.
Therapy is the act of.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Going back to those definitions.
Yeah, it's the act of.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So
it's an action.
Yeah, man. That's and so, it. Like, you know, whether it be that, or whether it be me lifting weights, or whether it be me going to the gun range to let off some steam, or just walking and seeing the majesty of Yah in nature, and appreciating that, and humbling myself,
man,
and understanding
that's
that
the beautiful part, right?
Again,
there.
That's the thing: removing that ego.
The ego.
The sun don't rise and set on my sorry tail. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here to be. And see, I think
speak for yourself.
If anything, I'm humble. I'm grateful to be able to see the sun rise.
There you go, man. Yeah, and see, again, now that's another thing, man. Social media, fam, is not therapy. So when we get into this self-diagnosis.
He can drive slow. You can drive 10 miles an hour on that one.
Social media is not.
It's sure. not therapy.
Say it fam. One more time.
Social, beloved, social media is not therapy. You don't need to put all your business out there to billions of strangers who not only don't care about you, but a lot of them thrive in your misery.
A lot of them are probably going through the same thing that you're going through.
So I'm going to stop right there and put it out there. Go ahead.
Now, it's not therapy.
Right.
But by God, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for the platform, whoever created this social media space. Thank you for the platform, because a lot of things that people are able to go on there and say and express about how they feel or what's going on with them. Before that, especially in our community, they were keeping that stuff in.
But see, my only objection to that would be before you had the internet, you had journals. And so sometimes, man, just write it down.
I almost said something. Go ahead.
But you know what I'm saying?
Go ahead. You go
first. It's there. You know what I'm saying? Speaking to someone.
Exactly.
Having competent and capable people, like you said, Ty, in your circle so that you can lean on in your times of distress.
Important. That's important.
A lot of people don't have that.
Right.
You see a lot of things on social media. 1 minute. Social media. I'm not advocating for it to be fair.
Right. Yeah. For sure. Right. Clear. Right.
But it's better out than in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gives people an opportunity to speak on things that they were never able to speak on. Nobody would listen. Now, if I go on here and put it on here, somebody has to read it. Somebody has to comment. Now, you have to be strong enough to understand what's going to come back.
Right.
It's not always going to be favorable to anything that you said or feel.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's not going to be. The internet is undefeated.
Yeah.
They will turn you into a meme if you trying to be.
Yeah.
It ain't and funny. Even personally, you might be a running joke amongst your peers.
Right, right.
Because of it. But the fact that you were able to get it out. People need the tools to understand what's going on in that realm, too.
Yeah, yeah. Because everything don't need to be said, you know.
Everything does need to be said.
I don't agree with that. Only because, like, you know, how many? And this is just kind of off the cuff, but how many people have gotten themselves arrested because of what they put on social media?
Oh well, I'm talking about Phil.
Right, but
Phil does too. Well, a lot of stuff on
it gonna get arrested for Phil.
But many people have gotten murdered over feelings.
Yep. You see people get murdered on first Facebook Live because of emotional decision.
See, that's my only thing. I understand what you're saying, and to a point, I agree with you. But the only thing is, everybody doesn't need to say everything. That's my only
business.
Yeah, that's my only.
And I think that's when discernment comes into play too, because you gotta know who and what I could talk about with to what person.
Black people in that word discernment.
But I'm being honest with you.
No. I'm just piggybacking. I'm not challenging you.
Go ahead.
But black people in this word discernment, they act as if it's this mythical thing. It's this magical thing. When discernment means what?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
Oh, I was like, wait, huh? Discernment is basically, it's a spiritual gift, and it's to be able to see beyond what is being projected to you. So you can tell me, you know, I always say this, projection, perception, and reality. You can project a certain image to me, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I can hear it and I can perceive it to be true, but that's where the spirit of discernment comes in to allow me to see what's really going on. It's sight beyond sight.
That's basically the
ability to see past
the physical,
you know,
and everything. Yeah. It's a connection. I feel like it's more of a,
it's the spirit of Yah.
It really says in the definition of it, it's the second definition, like more of a spiritual intuition.
Yeah, intuition.
Because you like said it's not physical,
it's knowledge
but
and
spiritual
and physical.
Yeah.
But of course, but
yeah, to see beyond.
You got to see beyond though. Yeah. Because a lot of things when you just, I don't know the why behind it, but it's just.
Right. But no, I want to go back to the silent assassin. What you got to say about social media and therapy, Nick? I know you, I know you're itching to get in. Go ahead.
Get him.
Before you do that?
Okay.
The definition of discernment is the ability to judge well.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. In Christian context, perception, and the absence of judgments with a view of obtaining spiritual guidance and understanding.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got you. That's in line with what we were saying. Basically, the ability to see.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And to, you know,
we make it so, some people just make it so broad, like God only gave that to you.
No, it's not about that.
I got the gift of discernment.
I think everybody has the ability of it.
Everybody just don't use it.
That's say it again.
Yeah, man. That's just like, you know, again, that's just like those seven spirits. If you go in the book of Isaiah, the seven spirits that were sent out and they were designed to dwell within mankind, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, the spirit of Yah, and the spirit of the fear of Yah. Those seven spirits, if you look in the book of Isaiah 11:1, you'll see those spirits. Seven spirits.
Remember when they had woke Snow White up?
Oh my goodness, here we go. So Snow White and the Seven Doors.
The crazy part with that though, Cat Williams said, like, if you look at every movie and certain movies, they actually tie into like certain
they
stuff.
Do.
So the Seven Doors is like the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
So I see where you're going with that.
Of course.
He ain't off the road this time.
Right. I hear what he's saying. But he's just,
he was in four wheel drive. Okay? Yeah. He was in four wheel drive. But go ahead.
I want to touch back to the social media thing.
Yeah.
And I always say this too. I have this thing, right? You got to be careful what you put on social media because it can go viral. And viral is a word that's, to me, determined as virus.
Yeah.
Virus is a fast spreading, you know what I mean? Like
entity.
COVID. Whatever. So once you go viral.
Use your GED.
Yeah. GED. Shit, boy. Anyway, now he's back off track. Once you go viral, it's a virus because it touched many people. It reached many people quickly.
Yeah.
That's what a virus is. So when I speak on social media, I make sure it's positive.
Yeah.
Just so if it does go viral,
yeah,
it's a positive viral. You know what I mean? Like it's touching so many people.
Because
a lot of
virus,
exactly. I know it's a contradiction, but when we're talking about social media going viral,
yeah,
it's a different word, but it's the same shit. But you know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Most things that go viral on the internet is negative.
Yeah.
I see deaths every day. I see girls shaking ass every day.
Yeah.
News, this, that. Oh. That's the type of shit that goes viral, which is killing us because what does it lead to? The kids, us, blacks, you know what I mean? Like, destroying the community.
This new generation is different. And I said it's different. I said it with love, but it's different.
What's the Gen Zers?
I don't know what that. I'm gonna look it up because I'm gonna give them.
Gen Z. Yeah, different. I think they're Gen Z now.
Yeah, they're Gen Z, but Gen Z they don't play.
Yeah.
Gen Z is with the shit. Gen Z is all about individuality, and you know it. That's a whole other topic.
So what about let's get back to the stats that I gave out in the beginning. Like suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Like the impact that actually has on people.
Yeah.
I remembered something from a podcast that I watched, and the dude pointed out that stress and mental fatigue or trauma systematically breaks you down to the point you won't recognize necessary steps or you will avoid them.
Yep.
And you got to think, when people are going through those points where they just want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have points where we want to give up. Some of us give up something else. You know, we give up on a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We give up on anything that challenges us. Some of us just simply give up on life.
Yeah.
And that's where suicide comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So with the understanding that we have, that we all have things mm-hmm. in us that we recognize things. Let me just circle back. We recognize the things that's wrong within us.
Yeah.
Like when we do our self-diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
when we do our self-therapy, when mm-hmm. when we see the things that's triggering us,
right?
We know we also can identify the things that would actually help us,
right?
But because of that stress,
mm-hmm.
because of that emotional and mental trauma, we'll see those things and we'll avoid them,
mm-hmm.
or we can't really recognize those things as help because of where we sit at.
Because the word of space is everywhere. The, right, yeah. The mind where we at. The mindset we at. Right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah, man. It's interesting that you said that. I actually wrote about this in an assignment that I had for homework yesterday while I was commenting on somebody's post. These studies were done from 1990.
Social media? You comment?
Well, in my class, you know, it's an online class. Yeah.
I just thought you didn't want to add me on Facebook, bro. That's all.
No, nah, man, I ain't been on Facebook since 2010.
Run it.
Shoot. But no, these studies were conducted from 1997 all the way up to 2018. And it's talking about the long-term effects of stress on people who work extra hours. You know, so again, and let me preface this with, right. Let me preface this with this. This is another aspect of mental wellness. They call this the six dimensions of wellness model. And these different dimensions of whole health, full mental health, are emotional, occupational, mm-hmm. physical, social, intellectual, and then, of course, spiritual. Mm-hmm. And so these stats that I'm about to read off deal with the occupational dimension, because a lot of people put a lot of focus. They equate mental health or just well-being with the job that they have, you know what I'm saying? The prestige or whatever from that job. And, you know, a lot of people pride themselves on working long hours. Exactly. Yeah. Income. So they said these studies, again, from 1997 to 2018 have shown that extended working hours can lead to an increased risk of hypertension, diabetes, elevated levels of stress and anxiety. Along, these are just some of the major ones that they listed out. There's a whole litany of other, sicknesses and ailments and stuff like that. You can literally run yourself in the ground. Now you could be you could be physically fit all you want, but you're burning yourself out mentally. Hell, you know what I'm saying?
Now I've done that bullshit.
Now think about this, big man. Let's go back to your. I'm sorry, G. Let's go back to your.
Sorry, you can't say it. It's not politically correct,
right?
Yeah.
But now going back to what you was talking about with the suicide thing. Think about this. You know. You and I'm just, let's just use this example. A black man, you go out there, you deal with, you know, police brutality, profiling, stress on the job and all of that. Then you come home to a contentious woman.
Ooh,
instead of building you up, this woman is tearing you down. That can cause undue stress. That can cause, man, I mean, that's another thing that we need to talk about with this therapy.
In the Bible, it tells you that a man will rather sleep on
the corner of a roof than deal with a contentious
woman.
Not even
just being on the roof, the corner.
Right. It says it's better to hear rain on a tin roof than to hear a contentious woman. These are all found in the Proverbs of the scriptures. But again, so just to get back to what you were talking about, G, like there are a lot of factors that go in on these stresses and that contributes to, you know, within our community, you know, especially, you know, being black man, these are factors that weather in. I mean, shoot, you know.
And when it goes to relationships, you have to understand, you have to identify
mm-hmm.
where you at in this relationship.
Right.
When we talk about relationships, and you also have to identify your partner, mm-hmm. not to weaponize it.
Right.
But some people do.
Right.
Take partners in relationships,
mm-hmm.
and some people take prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
In relationships.
You're damn right. And the problem is, a lot of times.
Why I thought you were going to go person.
He's so stupid. Go ahead.
I'm going to bail you out.
Okay, no. And he be doing that on purpose.
Why do you do?
Oh, I got you, baby. I got you.
But No, I'll say it again so I can jog your mind. Some people take prisoners and some people take partners. You have to understand in relationships.
I get you. I'm with you. I'm back. Because the thing is that you got people that has that take prisoners because people want to try to save everybody. You can't save
them. Or because of their own trauma.
That's true, but you still try, regardless of what you can. Both, because I'm for the fuck with you on this. Because your own trauma, because you can't save no one until you save yourself.
Mm-hmm. But you don't want them to leave you, but you know you're not healed. Of course. And you know you're not right for this relationship.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But you're holding on to this relationship knowing damn well that you ain't the right one for that person, but that woman or that man.
But you know what, though? You know why I seen people connect, though? Because we share the same trauma.
Trauma.
I seen people be together because not because they're good for you, because we went through the same thing. But nobody's done the fucking work. I'm sorry, I have to say it.
No,
it has to be. No one's done the work.
Right. And you have to make decisions from our worth,
right?
And not our wounds,
right?
Because a lot of times we pick people based upon the state of where we at. Am I picking you from an ego state of mind
or your wound?
Your trauma mm-hmm. from a victim.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm coming from a state of intelligence, higher intelligence, a higher spiritual elevation.
Not the issue, then.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? From a state of. You know what I'm saying? So, for me, I just think that we have to recognize. I just feel like that. We just have to, I think the biggest thing for me overall, what we talked about is being aware of where you at when you're navigating.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at mentally?
Self-aware.
You have to be self-aware first. Because all that other stuff we can talk about, if we're not self-aware, then all that stuff is going to cause us to make bad decisions.
Yeah, man.
And we have to be self-aware and not be afraid of ourselves and what comes along with ourselves.
You gotta identify where you're making that decision.
You got to. And that's why I think the two that we have to take accountability of the friends. I want us to talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because therapy comes through friendship.
Yeah.
How many times that we have friends that we talk to that we have been?
Yeah.
And that we have been our vulnerable with some, that we've been blessed with friends like that. Let me say that. But we all have had a moment of vulnerability with that real close friend at some point in your life.
Yeah. Because, like, to your point, one of the definitions of therapy, again, the treatment of mental conditions by verbal communication and interaction. You know, man, your man, 50 grand, you go holler at him, hey, bro, look, I'm going. A trusted individual. Now, trusted individual, man, that's the thing.
Trusted means qualified.
Yeah.
But it's qualified, but it's still. But
not only qualified.
Counsel ain't therapy.
I would disagree with that because
you can disagree.
Yeah,
go ahead. I don't care. Big bro talk.
But no, because again, look, me. I'm going to come from the scriptures, man. We had counselors. You know, Moses couldn't do it by himself. What did he do? He appointed 70 elders for that wisdom and for that counsel. Moses was a man who was trustworthy throughout the house of Yah, but he still had those elders and those counselors to give him wisdom, you know what I'm saying, when he, you know, when he needed it.
You got it from a level of humility.
Not disputing counsel.
Right, right.
Not disputing counsel.
But you're just saying it's not therapy.
It's not therapy.
It all depends on, you know,
what you're saying.
Yeah, I get you.
I see both sides.
Counsel.
Right.
But therapy is a different animal.
I think, too, and I think therapy can be, from a standpoint, it's more intimate.
And I think therapy.
I like intimate.
No, I'm serious because when you're vulnerable, dog, regardless of if you're vulnerable to anyone, that's a level of intimacy to a degree. And then they don't have to be from a
perversion. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
It's a level of trust. It's a level of like openness. You know how many times people navigate in life and they're not able to be their true, authentic self.
Yeah.
And the one thing that therapy that people feel like they're able to do when they're able to be comfortable enough to be able to let go is be their authentic self without judgment.
Yeah, but see, I've counseled brothers and sisters before. I've been marriage counseling and stuff like that, and everything was done biblically based, and that's the only reason why I say that, you know, and it helped them. So that was a form of therapy. That's the only reason why I say that therapy and counseling go.
As counsel for them.
Yeah.
in a council, not council.
Yeah.
Council.
Yeah. I get you.
You were acting as that at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you.
So I mean,
wait, no, wait, let Nick read that scripture because Nick been holding on to the scripture.
Hold on, read
the scripture. You don't catch it.
Yeah, waiting for you to send the money. No, but anyway,
Ecclesiasticus.
Oh,
well, yeah. He said 20, verse 25. Yes, I can. 13. Give me any plague, but the plague of my heart. And any wickedness, but the wickedness of a woman. Mm-hmm. Man, I posted this verse on my Facebook. All the men were just applauding. And all the women were just, oh, what do you mean? This and that and this and that.
We have the most delusional group, ethnic group.
When you suffer from a lack of knowledge, you will.
I want to say something right quick. Let me have this moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I feel like that a lot of times the healing in the black community is coming from everybody want to play the blame game of who's more the victim. And the problem is that when everybody's playing the victim, we're missing out on the whole thing of, okay, you went through what you went through, I went through. It's not about who suffered or who went through it more. It's about,
Right. Okay,
we recognize these are things that's happening. Now, what can we do to help each other?
Yeah.
And you don't hear that. You hear more about, well, this group of people is the most victimized of all of all people. And then
women.
You got other.
Black women.
Then you got the other side that's saying, no, you don't understand because we have to keep everything in and we have the most amount of pressure.
Right.
And you don't understand what it's like to be us because no matter what, we always have looked at as a black.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, okay, even if both those arguments are true, how are we coming together?
They're both not true.
But hear what I'm saying. I'm talking about the hypothetical. I'm not worried about that.
No, yes, sir. They're both not true.
Right. So, but
nobody's been traumatized more than the other.
Right.
They talked about your nose. They talked about mine.
It's almost also, if you think about it, guys, it's almost, again, about also really lit shit. Yeah. It's in a different way. See, you got to understand, whatever we can use to divide, we're going to use that.
Yeah.
If that means that y'all got to play, I was more of a victim than you were.
Right.
How's it help us come together?
Yeah.
Because so far, it's just the same thing as the paper bag fucking test.
Yeah, I get
competition.
It's all about, and at the end of the day, we're missing out. That's the point I'm making. So we got to change the narrative about, okay, we go through, okay, we both going through it. Because at the end of the day, when we look at it, we all back in the same fucking shithole.
Yeah.
So what can we do to help each other? What can we do to help each other grow? How can we forgive each other?
Right.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. How can we forgive each other? Okay, you going through what you're going through. I'm going through now. I'm sorry that you're going through that. I'm not downplaying what you're going through. And I'm not downplaying. What can we do to get past this? Because at the end of the day, the only way we're going to get out of this situation is about you and I. Because ain't nobody else fucking helping us. Ain't nobody's fucking helping us.
And it's avoidant.
I always say, hey man, cry me a river, I'll build a bridge, and together we can get the F over it.
Man.
Because I mean, let's do it. At the end of the day, we need solutions. You know what I'm saying? We need solutions. And so, you know, my prayer and my thought is that whomever is listening to this podcast, man, I always say your time is your most valuable asset.
Mm.
That's the only, man, you can never get it back. But you give it to whatever is important to you. And for those of you who are listening today, man, I thank you for taking the time out of your life to hear this.
Absolutely.
And my prayer is that something that maybe we have said will inspire you to change.
I'm going to stand up for my brothers.
Yeah.
And I hear everything that you just said.
Yeah.
I hear everything that you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But as a black man in this world,
mm-hmm.
and particularly in our community.
Yeah.
I've never met a man that wouldn't hear a woman speak of her past trauma, and we don't want to help them. We're not there to listen.
I was going to get to
that. I'm not saying that we're all like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying in my circle, I know men. I know good men.
Absolutely.
That will actually listen to the woman.
For
now,
sure.
When it comes time for you to listen to me, when it comes time for you to listen to me, I feel like that's something that just gets swept under the rug from black men.
It's not,
there's no reciprocity in that area.
But men in general.
Yeah, care, if you want me to care about your feelings,
mm-hmm.
You have to care about mine. And fellas, when you're in a situation where you don't feel that reciprocity, and like all the things that we talked about as far as the triggers, that occupational and all those things, when you're in a bad relationship, those things can trigger you to do things.
Oh, yeah.
That you want to typically
gets into the behavioral aspect.
And that's why we have to take accountability of our lives and have to be in the right place to recognize this. This is not giving what I need. At the end of the day, I'm invested into it. If it's not working, I have to be strong enough. That's the, that's a hard thing to do, G. You can recognize all day, okay, this is the problem, but do you have the strength to be able to do it?
Right. Yeah.
So I would say, man, listen, anybody who comes off like that with me, I know I'm coming from a positive standpoint.
Right.
I always let them know, woman, man, it doesn't matter. Bro, I'm not your enemy.
Yeah. And for the moment, I don't want to be around you. I can't. I don't like being around negative people. I won't be around negative people. You know what I'm saying? Because at some point, light going to outshine the dark. And if we're truly living how we say that we're living, we are to be, you know, we are to let our light shine. And I don't like to be around negative people. I don't like to be around gossipy people. I don't like to be around what the kids call messy people. You know what I'm saying? Because that energy, that stuff, kids always want to mention energy and talk about that. That's negative energy. Man, I don't want to be around that stuff.
Energy and vibes.
Right, right. You know, it's like that's the word of the day or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, man, just one more thing real quick about, you know, and I wanted to touch on this with self-diagnosis. You know, all of the stuff people talk about, all of this stuff, man. Have you eaten? You know what I'm saying? That's an aspect of it. What have you eaten? You talk about your back hurting, all of this stuff. Well, if you're drinking liquor all day, of course your back goes start hurting because that's your body letting you know the kidneys is on the way out. You know what I'm saying? If you're not getting enough sleep, of course you're going to burn yourself out mentally. You know, if you're not, you know, are you a fearful person? Hell yeah, you're going to have anxiety. You know? Yeah.
Number one cause of disease.
Yeah, because everybody, what old boy say? I don't get tired. Who was that back in the day?
Kim Gates.
Yeah, I don't get tired. So everybody want to stay up and pop pills and just, you know, run till you fall out.
We have this relationship with breaking the generational wealth.
Right.
Building generational wealth for our family. We have to also understand that you alone cannot do that. You can lay bricks.
Yeah.
But working yourself 7 days a week, 15 hours a day, is not going to accomplish that.
Mm-mm.
Work smarter.
I feel like you're speaking not harder.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I'm trying, man.
Yeah.
You got to slow it down. You got to give yourself something to you. If you're paying the bills, pay you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's another aspect of it as well, man. You could run yourself into the dirt. Because you're a good man. You're trying to do the right thing. And because how things are set up in society, it's made for, you know, a capitalistic society is made for someone to be on top, very few, and the masses to be on the bottom, working, as, you know, the Panthers used to call it, the proletariat, the worker man. You know, you're just a cog in the wheel driving this economy that's only truly being enjoyed by a few. But even those few have their problems because they be, you know, dying of drug overdoses, dying of alcohol poisoning, suicide and stuff like that because they're depressed. So money ain't the end all be all. That's not the answer.
Amplifies the worst parts of you too.
If you let it, I say money, what it does is expose the true side of a person.
That's what I'm saying.
Because then at that point, you have money, there's nothing that can trust, there's nothing stops you but you. So it allows you to be able to be true.
Be who you are,
You see what I'm saying? So like you said, G, it's a tool.
Man.
Money and power. Just even like taking like a supervisor role.
Right.
Your friend or whatever, you know, you think this and that. They take that role and now they're like, all right, I'm above you. Like, get your money up. I'm doing this now. I was like, man.
And if you are one of those people that someone, you know, you hear it all the time. Everybody I know come to me and get advice. Everybody comes to me to help them figure things out. If you're one of those people, you have to not focus as much because I see it all the time. People will give you these cookie cutter solutions to everything. Yeah. One size doesn't fit all.
Right. Absolutely.
And if you're the person that people trust, they want to come to you and talk to you about things. You have to understand them. Mm-hmm. You have to listen to them completely. Yep. Hear them out before you give them any advice, any solutions. Hear them completely out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even if it's random, because I get a lot of random people. Like, let's say a coworker, they'd be like, "I'm like, hey, how your day? Man, my wife hit me, this and that, and this and that." I'm just like, those are the type of ones I'm like, damn, he really trusts me. mm-hmm. you know, to give this listening ear, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I'm just like, I'm full of focus. I'm not the type of people like, damn,
I said betterhelp.com quick. Huh? At a certain point, I say betterhelp.com quick. I know that I'm not qualified in a lot of different areas. So if you come to me and ask me a lot of things, I'm not going to be your sole therapist.
But I'll be your ear, though.
But I'm going to say something right quick, though. Mm-hmm. I think that I hear what you're saying, but I think that people are missing out on the opportunity. There's someone out there that feels vulnerable with you.
Exactly.
It's not about, per se, if you're the licensed person. It's the fact that you, out of all the people in this world who I'm interacting with, you're the person I can be vulnerable with.
Yeah.
And at this time, at this moment, I just need that.
Yeah.
I don't need to fuck.
I'm an advocate for mental health.
I'm not saying that, but you.
Therapy is more.
But you're
but maybe this is their therapy.
We're not seeing
maybe they go home alone.
Not, not be the only one.
But we're not saying that. What we're saying is that those moments when it does happen.
I'm not saying, see, y'all misunderstand. I'm not saying don't do that.
No. Yeah.
So that's not saying. Okay. That.
I'm saying also lead them up to the help they need.
But of course, there's a time and a place for everything, though, too. You know, and I'm not going to tell you that right after you tell me that. No, like, if that was a time that you need to be vulnerable, I'm going to allow you to be vulnerable.
That's all.
Now, like you said, if it came to a point where you, like you said, you see the
this coming to me again.
Then at that point, you like you say, hey, maybe you need to seek some other additional help. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
there's nothing
wrong. I'll be your counsel, but not your therapist.
Right, and that's a part of the process of overall healing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They come to you because they trust you.
Then
it's like, all right, man, I think you need to go.
And you may be that vehicle, that bridge that gets them to the next step.
Have any of y'all ever tried therapy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I had to go for PTSD and traumatic brain injury.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the best things that you can do for yourself.
As a dog. No, man, because he laughing at me.
Listen, man.
Like, that's one of the best things you can do for yourself.
Yeah. But and I will. I was just going to say, I will say this, though, man. I did the traditional therapy thing where I went and talked to a brain specialist or whatever. And, you know, I tried that group stuff where they have it. But that's not me. And my greatest healing came from getting back to my first love. And my first love is this book. And I'm going to read this scripture right here. It says, it is the spirit that, this is John 6:63. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh does not profit at all. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. So I'm going to always try to speak those words of spirit and life. That's why I say peace, you know, when I talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. Or that's why I say, hey, brother, hey, sister, whatever.
It's funny I'm trying to give them those. The same way. Yeah. The last interaction I want that you to have with me is a positive interaction.
Right.
No, it's cool. But
okay, I was going to say, let's let T lead. You gonna go ahead and go?
Yeah, I'm out. I gotta go. Was in the spirit though. Yeah, man. Sometimes you got a lot of spirit to move, and I ain't got nobody to know about that.
Peace, kings. Peace.
All right, peace.
Be safe, brother.
Yeah.
Yes, he's going to plant sunflower seeds. If you in need of unsalted sunflower seeds, T is the man for you.
Man, I got nothing to do with that.
But yeah, man, that's definitely, you know, that's, I always try to leave that impression on somebody. And that was to you guys' point, man, you always want to be that positive emanation.
That's what
I'm saying. What I'm saying? If someone can't, like, hey, you know, it's
positive
my prayer.
What now?
Positive what?
Emanation, you said?
Yeah, emanation.
What's that mean?
Emanate, to give off. So you want to be that positive emanation. You want to be that positive thing. And that's why I was saying, you know, this may not be the actual therapy session that someone may need, but my prayer is that they get something, glean something from this, and this brings them to ultimate recovery. You know what I'm saying? And so.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. That's what I think y'all misunderstanding.
No, I get you. I'm with you.
Counsel is very important. Yeah. I believe I'm trying to increase mine.
Right.
Hey, give me counsel. But if you come to me several times about life issues that you're having in my counsel, being a good counsel member.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that therapy is also good too.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you're going to go out there and pick somebody and they're going to be the right fit. It means that you're going to have to do the work just like you have to do the work on yourself. You have to find somebody qualified to deal with you.
Yeah.
What you got, Nick?
I mean, it's good points. I understand where you come from. It's just, I'm very big on therapy, and I studied therapy, psychology, dark psychology. Like, I'm talking about everything that has to do with a person's mind or brain or actions or whatever. So I'm always on a positive outlook of things, and I'm always an open ear to anybody. I'm not a therapist.
Right.
But do I have, like, huh?
Errol, go
ahead. I mean, I study therapy, and I don't, me personally, I don't want to be a therapist. You know what I mean? I'd rather be a dating counselor because I do man and woman.
Yeah, man.
Dating counselor.
Have you thought about social work? Because that's what I'm going to get my bachelor's and be a licensed social worker. Yeah, because I think
you want to be hitched.
See, that's why I don't want people to go. I know a lot of people, every time I say that, they go that way. I'm just like, no, because man and woman, to me, is like therapy is within itself, too. Cause I'm like, man and woman go together. It's crazy pro-life. And we can stop the man trying to poison his damn baby.
Right.
You know what I mean? We could stop that shit. He could have had counsel with him and his wife.
Right.
And he would have had to be, you know, cheating or this and that and have to go to that route to that now he's in.
He needed another brother.
And maybe he didn't have that.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Because we're so closed off in our community. Yeah. Nobody wants to listen.
Unfortunately.
Nobody cares.
Why is he cheating? Does he go home to a...
To a contentious woman.
Contentious woman.
You know what I'm saying?
You know? Yeah. I got to look at it from all different angles. Huh?
He could be greedy.
Yeah.
Could be greedy?
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato. But we'll never know. He's still in jail regardless.
Right. And that's...
He didn't get the help before. the end of the story is... He didn't get the help.
Just like the young brother in Chicago, man, he got shot almost 100 times, you know what I'm saying, for a routine traffic stop. I was looking at it. I didn't get a chance to read the entire thing, but as I was just during the show, as I was skimming through it, they fired, I want to say, the officer responsible. I'm like, damn, how do you get 100 rounds off? Now, I done been in the military, and I done been to plenty of ranges, and I've been in combat situations.
To get 100
rounds. It's
you're shooting for at least a minute.
Yeah, it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I guess if you got, the police don't have fully automatic weapons, so they, you know, stop, reload, and woo out the bam and all of that. But anyway, man, you know,
to think about the guys in prison as well.
Yeah.
Being, I was watching that Netflix special a lot.
My wife, we was watching that too. Yeah.
And I was listening to some of the, particularly the phone call. When they were dealing with their family and was like lashing out at them, letting them know, when you're not in jail, I'm the last person you think about.
Right.
But when
you're
in jail, I'm the first person you call for everything.
Right. Yeah.
And you and I know that, you know, y'all are inside dealing with different things.
Yeah.
And you're feeling all kinds of emotions when you're inside, like you're the only person in the world that cares about you. Nobody else does.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. When that can be furthest from the truth.
Right.
Reading is important. Spiritual growth is important. I'm trying to think of things that will help brothers out like that in prison.
Yeah.
Like you have to realize that when you get the opportunity to get out of there, that those relationships those are also lessons when you make those phone calls.
Yeah.
Those are the relationships that you need to repair.
Right. Yeah. But man, that one instance right there, that show and just that demographic, that part of our society, man, is so screwed up because the years of just trauma, I mean, from slavery to the Black Codes to Jim Crow to, you know, convict leasing, all of these things factor in. And then when you get like the prison system being privatized now, so now states are more incentivized to keep you in jail. I forget the name of that movie. I want to say it was American Violet. It was done back in 2005 and it was based on this true story about this young lady. And I want to say it was some small town in Texas, but a lot of the Black people were being arrested on bogus charges and being thrown in jail and kept in jail. Yeah. You remember that? Yeah, man. So I mean, like,
or that lady that was defending herself in Florida.
Yeah.
That let the one shot off when the dude was trying to, he had a history of beating on her.
Right, right.
And she let a shot off, and she got sentenced 20 years for defending herself.
Exactly.
So I understand where you're going at with the, you know, all of that's attached to our trauma and, you know, as a people.
Mm-hmm.
What puzzles me or makes me question things a lot is because we're always diagnosing and attaching to our history here.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ever talking about, well, the milk is spilled on the floor.
Right. Yeah.
Who gonna grab the mop?
Oh yeah. And I'd like to
Something gotta be done.
I'd like to think that's what I know I personally and us as a whole are attempting to do with not only this podcast, but with our own individual efforts, just try to get, you know, I mean, there's so much milk that has been spilled. You know, the only thing we could do is grab the mops at our end and try as best we can to rectify the situation. I mean, shoot, we had prison ministries. We had clothing drives, food drives, all of these things help to repair those traumas. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I personally, you know, took the invitation to be a part of the show, man, because I think this is a part. This helps. It's somebody who listening to this who needed to hear this. I know a lot of people jokingly say that, but I sincerely believe that when Yah has me speak and that, you know, when, because I never want to say or do anything of my own accord. I always want to make sure that I'm being guided by the Spirit. So somebody needed to hear this show today. This was done and said for a purpose. And I mean, right now, you know, this is the best that we can do. As we continue to grow, as we continue to network, like I said, once I become licensed, I plan to practice social work for free, man. You know, through Heart of the Streets Ministries. I plan to do these things, you know, free because, man, my riches is stored up in the kingdom, man. Like at the end of the day, that's where I'm trying to get. All this stuff on the physical be damned, where moth can destroy and man can steal. I ain't too focused on this. I understand we need substance to live. But knowing that my substance is coming from the Father, Yah, that really, man, has been so therapeutic to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why I'm a big proponent of the spiritual realm, because I see how it has helped me. You know what I'm saying? I see how it has helped me grow as a man and, you know, just be more of the man that I know that I was raised to be.
My rap? Oh, man. I want to... Going back to the suicide thing, because I'm very big on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted everybody to, like, take a step forward and just tell yourself, like, you wouldn't be able to do that if you wasn't here.
Yeah, man.
You only have another step to go for to reach, you know, where you're going. So just thank you for being here, and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're very blessed. You may not see it. A lot of people may go against you, but just know if you take your life, they win.
Joy come up in the morning.
Yeah. Man, I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. And I'll end on one of my favorite quotes from a movie. I was going to go biblical, but one of the things that I think echoes the purpose of this show, with the world so set on tearing itself apart, it doesn't seem like such a bad thing for me to want to put a little bit of it back together.
That's right.
That came from Hacksaw Ridge.
And, good movie.
Know, that was, yeah.
Yeah, good movie. Yeah, war so, movie.
He stood with God to fight that war.
Mm-hmm.
As a people, if God didn't see a need for us to have one another, the world would have stopped with just one man. We all need each other.
Mm-hmm.
We all do. So with that being said, these are our 2 cents. Spend them or save them. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us.
Mm-hmm.
Got my boy Mo in here.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, you tried everything else. Try Yah for free. Don't cost you a dime. Might just save your soul.
Yeah. You got my brother Nick in here.
Yes, sir, always.
Silent assassin.
Yeah, got that good mic. Hey, yours truly, your boy G. Get out of here, y'all.
Yay, yay.
Peace.
Yeah, that was a good one. Man, like, it could... Like, it could be so much, like, man, we could have went on for a whole nother hour, because I didn't even talk about the whole eugenics thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Mental health month coming up, so we come back.
Yeah, yeah, because, like,
put one in fight for that.
For real. Because, like, I know, man, like, this is hood therapy. I know there's professional therapy, but, like, stuff like this, man, people...